Christmas is God letting us know how much we mean to him. Earlier, we sang a part of the song, "O Holy Night." And I just want to back up to a couple of phrases from that. "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth." The soul felt its worth. And tonight, that's my prayer for you. I pray that you will understand your worth, that you will know just how valuable and precious you are to God, that the God of this universe would send his Son into this world to rescue you, to save you. Let that just sink into your heart tonight, and as you celebrate in this Christmas season, celebrate that truth more than anything else. The goodness of God. Let your soul feel how much it's worth. And I want you to know, God really does love you. He really does care about you. In spite of what many people in this world would say about God, God is a good God. He's a caring God. You know, there's a lot of talk these days in the media about fake news, right? We're all concerned about fake news because all these supposed news medias don't feel any obligation toward the truth anymore. They just put stuff out there to kind of support their political agenda, and they don't care if it's true or not. So we've been hearing a lot about fake news, and there's a lot of fake news out there about God because the devil doesn't want you to know how good God is. He doesn't want you to understand that God is so good. He is so loving. He is so caring and so tenderhearted. You will never find anybody more loving than God. In fact, the Bible says this about God. The Bible says God is love. God is love. He is the personification of love. We've been on Sunday mornings here at Bethel Church, we've been talking about the real meaning of Christmas, and we've been kind of doing it this way. We've been talking about the real gifts of Christmas. What are the real gifts of Christmas? Because the real gifts of Christmas are things you're not going to find under your Christmas tree tomorrow morning. They're not anything you're going to find in a mall. So we've been talking about what are the, because the world, it really misses so much of the real meaning of Christmas, right? In fact, I want to show you a picture. This was this is a picture of a Nike outlet store. This was on Black Friday. This is the aftermath of shopping, Black Friday shopping at a Nike store up in Seattle. And I see things like this and I say, you know, people are maybe just missing the point just a little bit, right? So what are the real gifts of Christmas? So several weeks ago we talked about joy and how God wants to restore joy to our lives. We talked about the peace of God. The peace that God can give to our hearts, that no matter what is happening around us, we can be like, you know, in the eye of the storm, and God can give us peace as we walk with him. And then last week we talked about love, the love of God. And tonight I want to share with you just for a few minutes about this word that is so important. This is the greatest gift of Christmas. It's the gift of reconciliation. Reconciliation. And the reason I say this is the greatest gift of Christmas, it's because of reconciliation with God that we can have joy and love and peace and all the other good things that come from God. The reason we can enjoy those things is because Christ has come into this world to reconcile us to God. And there's no greater gift than that. There is no greater gift than being reconciled to God. And perhaps you're here tonight and you wouldn't say that you have been reconciled to God. In just a few minutes, as I wrap this message up, when we wrap the service up, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray a very simple prayer, to be reconciled to God, to have that relationship that God wants to have with you. And this is the whole meaning of Christmas. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. It will be up on the screen. I understand most of you probably didn't bring a Bible with you tonight, so we will have this up on the screen. Now, this is kind of a different view of the Christmas story. The gospel writers Matthew and Luke kind of give us the historical facts of the coming of Christ, and John gives us the spiritual reality behind those facts. In other words, if this was like a newspaper, Matthew and Luke are like reading the news section, and John is like reading editorial section. And so John's kind of given us the spiritual meaning of Christmas, and he says this. He says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So John refers to Jesus here with this Greek word logos, translated as word. And the meaning of this word actually comes from a Hebrew word, dabar, which always meant a word that came from God, a message that came from God. So in other words, when Jesus came into this world, he came with a message. Certainly, he taught, he preached, he came with a message. But what John is saying is that Jesus himself is actually the message. That Jesus is God personified. And in Christ, we see all the goodness of God made manifest in our world. So if you want to see who God is, we look at Jesus. He is the message of God. And why did God do this? Why did God send his Son into this world? There's a reason for it. I mean, Jesus could have stayed in heaven and died on a cross in heaven. There's a reason Jesus came into this world and was born here and lived among us. Because what better way for God himself to touch our lives? Because it would be so easy for us to say, man, God just doesn't know what it's like to be me. God is just, you know, like way up there in heaven, and he's got it made, and everything's perfect up there, and God just doesn't get it because he's never been human. But we can never say that about God, because God did become human in Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his Son into this world. Jesus came and he experienced everything we experience. Jesus knows what it's like to be thirsty and hungry. Jesus knows what it's like to be abandoned by friends. Jesus knows what temptation feels like. Jesus knows what physical pain feels like. He went through all of that. And why did he do it? He was showing us just how great his love is for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, that's me and you, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. And I know a lot of people are afraid of dying. They're wondering, well, what's next? What's really going to happen to me? And I want you to know God wants you to be free from that fear. He wants you to have his peace. He wants you to know where you're going to spend eternity. And that's what Jesus came into this world to do. So Christ's ultimate goal as he came into this world was to reconcile us back to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus. So in Jesus, all the fullness of God, all the goodness of God dwelt in Christ. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, this is talking about me and you, we were alienated from God and were enemies in our minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. How many of you say that is a pretty good Christmas gift right there? Amen. Right? To be reconciled with God. Yeah, yeah. Now, to reconcile means to restore a broken relationship, to take two parties that have been alienated back together. It's the cessation of hostility toward one another. And so Christmas is all about reconciliation. We sing about it every Christmas when we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled, right? God reconciling us to himself. Now, I've been a pastor for 30 years, over 30 years, and I can tell you, usually when two parties have been alienated from one another for whatever reason, and there needs to be reconciliation, usually both parties are at fault to some degree. I mean, a lot of times it's 50-50, maybe it's 60-40. Very seldom is one party all of the problem, right? It's usually a combination of you know, things that each of them have done wrongly. And so there's a need for reconciliation. Now, the difference is, in our relationship with God, 100% of the reason there's broken relationship is on us. God has none. He has none of the fault. We have all of the fault. So that's the awesome thing about God, is even though we're the ones that blew it, God is the one that has reached out to us to bring reconciliation. It's God reaching out to us, no matter how far away from him that we've been. That's how awesome God is. And you might feel tonight like, I am so far from God. I've done so many bad things. I want you to know, in spite of any of that, I want you to know, God is a good God. And he loves you. He cares about you. And he invites you to be reconciled to him. Now, of course, the other question when it comes to reconciliation, whenever there's a schism between people, there's brokenness, then comes the question, who's going to say they're sorry first? Right? And when I was first married, when there was an argument, I knew I was right. I knew I was right, right? So I'm not going to say I'm sorry. She's going to say she's sorry, right? It's that kind of attitude. And then after a little bit of that, then you start to think, well, maybe, you know, I could have handled it a little bit better. And the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, the more God really showed me I was actually most of the problem. So finally I would come and, you know, make my apology. But again, when we were newly married, I really didn't know a lot about reconciliation and the way to do this stuff. So I thought, you know, when I know I'm wrong, the way to fix everything is to buy flowers. And the first time I tried this, I just brought flowers home for Janice. Here you go. You know, we just had some. Of course, you understand, we were pastors, so we never had an argument. But we had some differences of opinion. So after one difference of opinion, I thought, okay, the way to fix this is, you know, I've seen this in the movies. You buy flowers. So I bring the flowers in, and Janice looks at the flowers and says, who are those for? They're for you. Oh, do you have anything you want to say? And I was, well, I thought the flowers kind of say it all, don't they? I mean, you see, here's the deal. Janice didn't care about flowers. She cared about our marriage. Right? Flowers are just flowers. She wanted the relationship to be reconciled. And buying flowers wasn't going to cut it. So when it comes to reconciliation to God, God has reached out to us. He has paid the ultimate price. And even though he was not the offended, I mean, he is the offended party, not us. It is God who sent his son into this world to die on a cross for us so we could be reconciled to him. In other words, all of the reason for the problem is us, but all of the reconciliation was done by him. I mean, is that awesome or what? That's the goodness of God demonstrated in Christmas. Reconciliation. It's a gift from God. Now, the question for us is, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with God's gift? What are we going to do with God's Christmas gift? 1 John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13 says this: Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. In other words, most people don't receive the gift. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now I want you to notice a couple of key words there. What does it take to receive this gift? There's two things. You believe. Believe is one of the things, and we receive. We believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God who came into this world, died on a cross for our sins, and is risen from the dead. We believe, and then we receive. We bring our lives to God, and we say, God, I admit that I cannot save myself. I need you in my life. And we ask God to come into our lives, to forgive us of our sins. And then what happens as a result of that, we believe and we receive, and then we have the right to become children of God. What a deal! Believe and receive, and you will become a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. What a gift. And in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to invite you to receive that gift. If that's a gift you haven't received yet in your life. And I want you to know, it's never too late. When it comes to God, it's never too late to change the course of your life. In 1888, a man by the name of Alfred had the rare experience of reading his own obituary. Now, Alfred was a well-known scientist and inventor. And the occasion for him reading his own obituary is that the local newspaper heard that his brother died. They got the story mixed up, and so they wrote his obituary and put it in the newspaper. And the title of the obituary, the title was "The Merchant of Death is Dead." You imagine reading that? The reason they referred to Alfred as the Merchant of Death is because he was the inventor of and produced and sold dynamite. He invented dynamite. And back then, dynamite was used for more destructive reasons than constructive reasons. So he's reading his obituary, and the thought occurs to him, this is how I'm going to be remembered, as the Merchant of Death. And reading that changed his mind. He decided to change the way he lived the rest of his life. In fact, he established a prize for people who could promote peace. You see, Alfred's last name was Nobel. And the Nobel Peace Prize is named after Alfred Nobel. Here's a man that came to a crossroads in his life reading his own obituary, and he said, that's not how I want to be remembered. And I want you to know tonight, you might be at a crossroads in your life. I want you to know, no matter where your life has been, God loves you. He cares about you. He will forgive you, and he can change your life. The entire trajectory of not only your life right now, but your eternity can be changed by receiving God's gift of reconciliation. Be reconciled through Jesus Christ. That, guys, that's the point of Christmas. It's really what it's all about. I'm going to invite everybody here to bow your heads with me, if you would, and just close your eyes for a minute. Because I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're in a place in your life, you know that you're alienated from God. You're not walking with God. Perhaps you've never had a relationship with God, or perhaps you've known a relationship with God at some point in your life. But really, if you were honest with yourself tonight, you would have to say, I know that I'm really not in a relationship with God. I'm not walking with God. I'm not walking in obedience to what God wants for my life. I want to invite you tonight to pray a very simple prayer tonight of being reconciled to God. And I'm telling you, because I know this personally, there's no greater decision you will ever make in your entire life than the decision to be reconciled to God. So if you're here tonight and want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to just lead everybody who raises their hand, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer in just a moment, a prayer of coming back to God, a prayer of reconciliation. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, I'm going to count to three. And when I say the number three, I want you to just do me a favor and just raise your hand when I say three. And when you raise your hand, you're just saying, Tim, I'm going to be praying this prayer with you. I want to be included in this prayer. I want to be reconciled to God. If that's you tonight, when I get to the number three, just hold your hand right up, and then I'll lead us all in a prayer together. And I'm telling you tonight, if you become reconciled to God, this will be the very best Christmas you've ever celebrated, because you're going to celebrate for the right reasons. It's going to be about the right things. It's going to be about being reconciled to God. So if you want to be included in this prayer, raise your hand when I get to three. One, two, three. Yes, God bless you guys. Hold your hand right up nice and high so I can see it. Awesome, awesome, yeah. All across this place, hands going up, yes. Awesome. I'll wait just another second. If God is speaking to your heart, don't harden your heart to God. Don't turn your back on God. This is God reaching out to you. There's a reason you're here tonight. You're not here by accident. Any others tonight? Just raise your hand right up. Thanks for raising your hands. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Would you pray this prayer along with me tonight? Just pray out loud. And church, would you pray with those who have raised their hand tonight? Father in heaven, I want to be reconciled to you. I want to be in a relationship with you. God, I believe you are good, that you love me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born into this world, that he died on a cross for my sins, and he has risen from the dead. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.